Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Good morning, my Every Nation New York family. I am so honored to be with you all, albeit digitally. I wish I could be with you personally, but I am so grateful to be meeting with you all in this format. I want to give a special shout out and thank you to Pastor Nathan for this invitation. I had an opportunity to be with you all earlier this year, February, I believe that was the time, right before everything got shut down. And I got a chance to spend some time with your leaders and do some prophetic ministry amongst your key volunteers. And it was a great time. And I really believe that God had something special for us, as that was the last trip that I was able to go on before we stopped all of our travel. So I'm grateful. I believe that God knit our hearts together, and I'm excited to be with you all as a people, complete people, via this platform. So let's pray and let's get started. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. God, we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to hear from you this morning. God, I pray that we would recognize that's what we've come to do. As we're meeting in our living rooms, in our kitchens, our bedrooms, in our cars, God, we have come to meet with you. Lord, meet us on subway trains. Meet us, Father, as we're walking. Meet us this morning. Lord, I pray that these would be the final words that I speak. And from here on out, God, I ask that you speak. Lord, fill me with your words. Because we know that your words are the only things that change and challenge and correct and call people closer to you. So, Lord, I pray that there would not be any wasted words this morning. God, bless this time of worship and ministry. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Family, for our text this morning, I'm going to be coming from Matthew 16, 13 through 18. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18, and I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. It reads, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But you,' he asked them, 'who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' Jesus responded, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it.'" Family, if I could use for a title, topic, subject, focus, or thought for us this morning, my thought this morning is pop quiz. Pop quiz. You know, when I was growing up, one of the things that I hated the most about school was pop quizzes. I always felt that they were a little bit unfair, to be honest with you, family. I felt as though you should have told me it was coming. Apparently that defeats the purpose of a pop quiz, but I don't really care. I would like to know when I'm going to be asked something. I like to have a little foreknowledge. I would have liked to prepare. And the point of a pop quiz is that there was enough information given before this moment that should have prepared you for the questions that you'll have to answer. In other words, you didn't need the time to prepare, because if you were paying attention, if you were doing your reading, if you were listening during the lecture, I've already prepared you for the question that I'm going to ask you. A pop quiz. I've never traditionally done well on pop quizzes, because I realize that sometimes I'll be listening only if I know that there's a test coming up. But here in the concept of a pop quiz, the point is that you're always listening, that you're always learning, that you're always walking close. And I find this idea of a pop quiz to be exactly what happened in our scripture today. The text for the day talks about Jesus asking a question to the disciples, and it does not look like it's in a convenient time. It does not look like it's in a best moment for them, that this is the best time to be asking questions. Again, going back to my own individual academic trauma, it was never that a pop quiz stumbled upon me in a way in which I was happy about or that it was a best time. They would always do pop quizzes when they knew I didn't read, when they knew I wasn't paying attention in the lecture. But this isn't about me. Let's go back to our text. Jesus comes to this region in verse 13 called Caesarea Philippi. And at first glance, it might not make any importance to the fact that Jesus asked the question for them while they were in Caesarea Philippi. Why does that matter? But if you study the geography and the culture of that city, we find some nuggets here to hold on to. Jesus arrives at Caesarea Philippi, and that place was actually famous because it had a temple to the god of Pan. Now, Pan was a Greek god and was known for causing panic and pandemonium in nature, and it's actually where those words derive. Panic, pandemonium, pandemic, all from this Greek god, Pan. And in Caesarea Philippi, the cave that Pan was thought to dwell in, it was located in that region. And so people would look at this cave and they would think that it was literally the portal to the underworld. They would call it actually the gates of hell. So Peter arrives to this place with Jesus and he's teaching the disciples Jesus is and they arrive to this place in which they believe that the gates of hell are and that panic and pandemonium is to be worshipped. The second thing that Caesarea Philippi was known for was this temple that Herod built for Caesar to be worshipped. Caesar at that time was the ruling authority of that region. And what happened was that they would devote worship to him because all of their good fortune and all of their good life that they lived was attributed to the fact of the ruling authority letting them be that way. And so in response to this ruling authority and them having a fullness of life, they would worship their government. So here we see a culture that's steeped in worshiping panic and worshiping pandemonium and worshiping their government. And in the middle of all of this, in the middle of all this backdrop of false worship of gods and government, Jesus comes with a pop quiz. Pop quiz. And he says, hey, what are they saying about me on the street? What are they saying about me? Pop quiz. And then the disciples, they begin to stumble through their first answer, much like I would in my own testing days. Some say you're John the Baptist, or some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah. And what they were doing was they were acknowledging that there's a lot of clout about you that says that you're a good teacher, that you're someone that should be paid attention to, that you offer good advice, that you even might be a prophet, that you're someone that's worthy of following. And Jesus goes, okay, that's all good. But let me ask you a little bit more directly. Who then do you say that I am? This goes from a corporate understanding of what people thought about Jesus theologically to what they understood him to be relationally and redemptively. Who do you say that I am? Family, I believe that there's something divine about the timing of that question, that they are in this city that's dedicated to worshiping a panic and pandemonium in the government. And when Jesus asks them that question, who do you say that I am? He's almost throwing down the gauntlet. Are you going to worship me in this moment, or are you going to worship something else? Who do you say that I am amongst all the options that you have of panic and pandemonium and government? Who do you say that I am? Do you remember me when things go wrong? Do you remember me when there's other things that you can worship? Who am I to you again? You know, as I look at the culture of Caesarea Philippi, family, I can't help but think about current events. You know, we're currently still living through a pandemic. I don't have to tell you all that. You're at the epicenter. You're at the core of what we've experienced in the American side of this pandemic. Family, our lives have been forever changed by COVID. It has caused us to rethink everything. Our lives aren't the same. Our ministries won't be the same. How we relate to people isn't the same. What we do for fun isn't the same. Where we go to eat isn't the same. The God of panic working overtime to be worshiped. And if that wasn't enough, on top of a pandemic, we now have pandemonium. We learn of the murders of Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, and our nation slips into a pandemonium. We have a people who have traditionally been unheard and underappreciated and underrepresented cry out to be seen. People of color not knowing their value amongst the majority and whether or not they matter and whether or not they will ever experience equity in this nation. Peaceful protests in all 50 states, nothing like it's seen in America since the Civil Rights Movement. The consciousness of a nation has been pricked. And then the looting and vandalism and destruction begins to pour water on the fire that was started. Who do we trust? What do we believe? What news channel do we watch? Do I unfollow my liberal friend? Do I unfriend my conservative friend? You're being a racist. He's a racist. No, she's a racist. No, I'm a racist. What about the monuments? Should Kaepernick have knelt? What about the respect for the flag? What about the respect for the other flag? Pandemonium. Pandemonium. The God of panic and pandemonium is working overtime to be worshipped. And family, if that wasn't enough, us having this parallel for Caesarea Philippi and what they were going through and what we're going through as an American culture today, if that wasn't enough, then we get a chance to look at the second temple, the temple to Herod, or to the temple to Caesar built by Herod, and we find that we're in the middle of an election year. It's a time where both political parties will literally promise us anything to get our votes. A time where they remind you that your good fortune and all that you experience in life is based upon whether or not you agree with their platform, whether or not they ascend to the highest office in this land. All of them searching in their speeches to build us temples in which we can worship. We are living in Caesarea Philippi. We have false gods. We have government, all desiring to be worshiped. And just like Jesus did those many years ago, I hear him popping a quiz on us. Hey, who do you say that I am? In the midst of COVID, have you forgotten your confession? Who do you say that I am? In the midst of racial unrest, in the midst of a people that are yearning for social justice, have you forgotten your Jesus? Who do you say that I am? In the midst of Republicans and Democrats all building temples for us to worship, in the midst of this speech, in the midst of this election, in the midst of this moment, do you remember who your king is as you're trying to elect your president? Who do you say that I am? Family, God is springing on us a pop quiz that does not seem to be convenient at the right time. It does not seem to be the best time for me to be declaring who Jesus is. It doesn't seem like it's the right time to challenge my understanding of my relationship with Jesus. This doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem like the right time, but I hear heaven asking us the question, who do you say that I am? And if we get this right, if we answer rightly, I believe that we are going to change our cities. We go back to the text. It says, he asks him in verse 16 or verse 15, who do you say that I am? In verse 16, Peter answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. in the midst of the options to worship this thing or to worship this policy or to worship this person, Peter answers rightly, you are the Son of the living God. And when he does that, what is so interesting is how Jesus responds. He goes on in verse 17 to say, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Let's pause here for a second. We look at the scripture and it says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Let's pause. What is that even saying? He's basically saying that for you to understand who I am against the backdrop of a false gods and the backdrop of government trying to get you to worship it, for you to know who I am, you had to have that revealed to you by the Father, that you were walking closely enough with me to have the Lord download something into you that was not spoken, that was not said, that was not declared. No one told you that. My Father revealed that to you. He walked close enough with Jesus to understand him relationally, but he also walked close enough to Jesus to understand him spiritually and eternally. And he had an understanding that could not come from a Facebook post, an understanding that could not come from an article that he read. He had a revelation of who Jesus was that came directly from heaven. Family, I believe that that's the revelation that we're to walk around with inside of our hearts, inside of our being, that we are to walk closely enough with Jesus to recognize that he is speaking to us something that I can't get from a news show. I can't get this thing from an article that I read. I can't get it from a meme. I can't get it from Netflix. I can't get it from every other thing that I've tried to run to bring peace to my situation. I've got to have a revelation that comes from God himself. Jesus says, what you're speaking about today, that didn't come from anything natural. That came from something supernatural. He says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And then he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Let's continue to go and break this thing down. First, Jesus lets him know that flesh and blood didn't tell him this, but his Father told him this. And then the second thing that Jesus lets him know is that your name is Peter now, and on this rock, I'm going to build something. Now let's pause this. We see this identity exchange. We see this call and response that we hadn't noticed before, where as soon as Peter acknowledged Jesus's divinity, Jesus then released to Peter his identity. Peter did not know all of who he would be or all of who he was or what his mission or strategy in life was until he acknowledged who Jesus was. You see, family, I believe that some of us are confused about our strategy. Some of us don't know what to do or when to do it. And I don't know how to add my voice to situations. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to help. I don't know what to do. And perhaps the reason we are confused is because we have not answered the question yet, who do you say that I am? Because when we declare who God is, God will then declare back to us who we are. We'll know our identity. We'll know our strategy. We'll know our vision. We'll know our calling. As soon as we exalt the name of Jesus, his identity is then released to us. His vision for our lives is released to us. His mission for our lives is released to us. Family, who do you say that he is? Peter answers rightly, and Jesus begins to discuss who Peter is. He says, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Now, this rock was not talking obviously about the man. This rock was talking about the revelation that came through the man. On this rock of me being the Christ, the Son of God, I am going to build my church. I'm going to build something. Now let's pause there. Our role is to declare who God is. God's role then is to build on top of that declaration. You see, sometimes we try to do the declaring and the building. No, we are the declarers and God does the building. When we had to close down our services, if you thought that you could close down the church, that's not right. We closed down the building. The church has always stayed open because the church can never close because we're not building that. God is building that. And so he says, on this rock, I'm going to do a work. On this declaration, I'm going to build something. And what I build cannot be stopped. What I'm going to build can't be overrun, can't be overturned. What I'm going to build, there's no law against it. What I'm going to build, there's no quarantine against it. What I'm going to build, there is nothing that can come against what I am going to build. The gates of hell will not overpower it. On this revelation of who God is, I'm going to build my church. Family, if we answer this correctly, if we get this declaration right, can you just imagine what God will build on top of that? When you're struggling in your marriage and you begin to declare who God is, just watch what he'll begin to build. When you're struggling in your resources and you just begin to declare who God is, just watch what he'll begin to build. When you're struggling with your neighbors and trying to live in this community and when the world is trying to tear us apart, if you just begin to declare who God is, just watch what he'll build. Family, let's walk close enough for us to have the same testimony that Peter had. Now, flesh and blood didn't tell me this. I didn't find out who God was or who Jesus was based upon what somebody said alone. I've had an experience. I've had an encounter that came from the heaven itself. And from that declaration of that truth, I want to watch God build something that I couldn't build myself. And what he's building, family, it's powerful. It says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, family, let's pause here again. Traditionally, we've read this verse as though the onslaught of the enemy will not overtake the church. Traditionally, we've read this to say that the constant attack that the church is under from the enemy, from the kingdom of darkness, it won't overcome us, which is true. But I don't believe that's the language that we find here in our text this morning. Verse 18 says that the gates of hell will not overpower it. Now, the last time that I looked at warfare, I never saw gates move. Gates don't go into battle, gates guard. Gates don't attack, gates simply resist. Gates don't move. So if a gate is not a weapon, what was Jesus talking about when he said the gates of hell won't prevail? Now, I believe what the scripture is alluding to is that when the kingdom of darkness has your stuff locked up and you go to get it, the gates of hell will not prevail against the onslaught that the church is going to bring towards the kingdom of darkness. This scripture is not speaking about us as a people that are on the defense from the enemy's attack. No, this scripture is stirring up the faith for us as a people to be on the offense, that we are the people that will go after and go get it. If your marriage is locked up behind the enemy's schemes, go get it. If your finances is locked up behind the enemy's schemes, go get it. The gates of hell will not prevail against what God has built. Go get your stuff. The gates of hell will not prevail. All of this built on a powerful declaration when we recognize he is the Christ. You know, family, God is not absent in our calamity. He's not missing. And if we get this declaration that he is the Christ, right, we will show the world that the gospel is beautiful even in the midst of a pandemic, that the gospel is beautiful even in the midst of pandemonium, that the gospel is beautiful, yes, even in the midst of an election year, that this truth that he is the Christ will always advance and the kingdom of darkness will always have to back up. On that declaration, he will build his church. You know, family, I believe that as you all as a people get this declaration right, that God is going to be releasing to you all some more of your identity. You know, I got a chance once again to be with you guys in February. It was a great time. Again, I believe that there was something in which God knitted our hearts together, and I'm thankful for that time together. And I believe that as you all declare who God is, God wants to redeclare to you who you are. Referencing to our time together, I believe that Every Nation New York, that you all are a church that will raise up leaders. That vacancies that happen in leadership positions don't always have to cripple what God is doing amongst you as a people. But I believe that it's literally Him spreading out the leadership gift and the leadership mantle that's on your church. You all will raise up leaders in every sector. You will raise up leaders, and God is going to anoint you for such a time as this. You'll be a people that raise up leaders, and it's going to happen at an accelerated pace. What you might think that would have taken, five years to figure out, it'll take you two. What you thought was going to take you 2 years to figure out, it'll take you 2 months. God's going to have you raise up leaders at an accelerated pace that's going to bless you more than you even thought or imagined. The second thing I believe that you all are as a people is that you guys are going to release resources. I believe that God has called you, and you're already doing it. I believe God's called you to get resources from obscure places and release them to a city that needs it. That's who you all are as a people. That God trusts you in the economic system of heaven to release to those who are around you what they need. Not everything that comes into your church is everything that you're to hold and to keep. But much of what comes into your church will be what you're to release and to bless to others. Family, God trusts you as a people to be kingdom resourcers, that kingdom ideas and kingdom projects will happen through you. The third thing I believe that you all are as a people is that you are a people that won't just be gathered in one location. You're a people that will be gathered in multiple, that you're not just a place and a stopping point in one body, but you'll be a place and a stopping point and a resting point in multiple areas. I believe that God's going to be releasing to you strategy and vision and knowledge on how to do this effectively. And you'll become a model of what it means to on-ramp the gospel into the city, both with your resources, but then also with multi-site campuses. And finally, family, I believe that God has called you to be a people that is Spirit-empowered. I believe that God is endowing you and empowering you with His Spirit in a powerful way to continue to release blessings to the city. You're not going to be a people that follow strategy or some plan that doesn't include the Spirit. I believe that you're following the voice of God, that you're following the Spirit of God. And as you do that, many people will be won to the kingdom. Family, pop quiz. In the midst of all that you're going through, who do you say that He is? Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for this moment that we have to be together. God, I'm grateful that, you know, where this pandemic and pandemonium, election year, that these things might have surprised us, but they didn't surprise You. So, Lord, I pray that we would walk in the fullness of what You have said and who you are. Even in the midst of difficult times, let us not forget our declaration. Lord, as we as a people declare who You are, would You then respond and declare who we are? God, would You give us identity? Would You help us know who we are again? God, for those who have felt struggling throughout this time of quarantine, God, those who have found it extra difficult, God, I pray that Your peace would invade them as they declare once again, You are the Christ.
You have been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.